Blog Talk Radio.
Bitterman, get 'em in. That sun is hot and plenty bright. Let's get on to business and get home tonight. Bitterman. Auctioning slaves is a real high art. Bring that young gal, Roy, she's good for a start. Bid 'em in, get 'em in. Now here's a real goodbye on about 15. Her great-grandmammy was a die-homie queen. Just look at her face, she sure ain't homely. Like Sheba in the Bible, she's black but comely. Bid 'em in. Gonna start at 3. Can I hear 3? Step up, gents, take a good look-see. Cause I know you'll want her once you see her. She's young and ripe, make a darn good breeder. Bid 'em in. She's good in the field, she can sew and cook. Strip her down, Roy, let the gentleman look. She's full up front and ample behind. Examine her teeth if you got a mind. Bid 'em in, get 'em in. Here's a bid of 3 from a man who's thrifty. 325, can I hear 350? Your money ain't earning you much in the banks. Turn around, Roy, let him look at her flanks. Bid 'em in. 350's bid and I'm looking for 4. At $400, she's a bargain sure. 4 is the bid, 450. 5, $500 now, look alive. Bid 'em in, get 'em in. Don't mind them tears, that's one of her tricks. 550's bid and who'll say 6? She's healthy and strong and well-equipped. Make a fine lady's maid when she's properly whipped. Bid 'em in. 650, don't be slow. 7 is the bid, gonna let her go. At 7, she's going, going, gone. Pull her down, Roy, bring the next one on. Bid 'em in, get 'em in, bid 'em in.
To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the house Negro and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, "We got a good house here," the house Negro said, "Yeah, we got a good house here." Whenever the master said "we," he said "we." That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick." He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, "Let's run away. Let's escape. Let's separate," that house Negro would look at you and say, "Man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this?" That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay 3 times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, "I'm the only Negro out here."
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, from Auburn, California, here in Placer County, California, near the gold country. Tonight, we're talking about stolen legacies. Our air date of this episode is May 28th, 2019. We want to give a shout-out there to all the RPGs in the Pacific Northwest, also to the Way of Chicago, Black I Stand Radio, Do the Knowledge Radio, New Black Knowledge, also too. And we definitely are looking over this past Memorial Day, showing respect to those who died in our struggle. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with stolen legacies. There was a book written, I believe, 1954 by Professor George G. M. James, and he has talked about the power when these individuals came from Europe, like Alexander the Barbarian, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, you know, all those guys who went down there, they came and stole all the knowledge, claimed it as their own. And in his work, he had proved that you never heard of these guys, Aristotle, Socrates, and Plato, until they went to Kemet and stole all the knowledge and claimed it as their own. So when a person is ignorant of their own history, when a person has been stripped of knowledge of themselves, they will pretty much go for anything. And this is what we're trying to do here on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on our episode here, Stolen Legacies. Also, too, I want to welcome our associate producer, Mr. Macy, and also, too, our future commentator, Brother Isaiah. How are you all doing? And greetings to you from Auburn, California.
What's going on, brother? Hey, Queen. What's going on, everybody? Let's get the show on the road.
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. And believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here near a city called Placerville, California, which they used to call Hangtown, and I'm 20 miles away from where they discovered gold in California. And they got a state historical landmark to it and all that old type of good shit. But however, we're not too concerned, you know, about the state of California at this time, but we're dealing with our stolen legacies. Okay, so therefore, what I want to do, I did some research aboard Mansa Musa, and he had existed from 1280 through 1337 A.D., and he reigned for 25 years from 1312 to 1337, and also, too, he was the great-nephew of Sundiata Keita, the founder of the empire. Also, too, he was the first ruler from West Africa to go to Mecca to take the pilgrimage there. And he also had spread news about Mali's empire throughout Europe and expanded and developed the empire. Now, also, too, now let's talk about Europe, you know, taking all this knowledge and resources and what have you off of our continent and claiming it as our own, okay, just like we had stated before on previous podcasts about Carter G. Woodson and the miseducation of the Negro. So, therefore, this is systemic. This is like societal norm, you know, to keep us ignorant of ourselves. And this is why we definitely got to have more emphasis, you know, on homeschooling and, you know, get our people about these public indoctrination centers, because they would not be going out here perpetuating all this self-destruction and what have you had they not been influenced by these public indoctrination centers. You see what I mean? It's because, as has been stated before, when our youth are in there, they already, you know, get conditioned, you know, to answer the bills, you know, to go to detention. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Low quality materials, low quality instructors, you see. Teachers are mainly showing up for a paycheck as opposed, you know, for the kids' welfare themselves. And also, too, we got to look at that during slavery in this country, that any intellectual proprietary rights of any inventions or ideas that his slave had wrote down were automatically the master's. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay, that there's what they call an intangible asset. Okay, then also, too, we're going to talk a little bit about Elijah McCoy, the guy who invented the mechanism on railroad trains, you know, where to keep them oiled and lubricated. And, of course, this is where you get the expression from the real McCoy. Also, too, we're going to talk about Granville T. Woods. He came about with the telegraph. Also, too, it came about, from what I understand on research that I've done, the first telephone, but Thomas Edison stole his patent. And then also, too, we're going to emphasize a little bit on Faraday Morgan. who invented the gas mask and what have you. And what had happened was is that he invented it, you know, for the fire department. It's because when firefighters used to be overcome by smoke, he had made what they call the hooded smoking, device. Yeah, and then that there was a prelude, you know, to the gas mask that he did is because in Cleveland, Ohio, there was a major explosion up under Lake Erie around 1914, I believe. And he was called upon, you know, with this gas mask to try to go get personnel out of there who were trapped in there. And then also, too, he had to help in the rescue of personnel who went to go in and get personnel. You see what I mean? And then also, too, with the conditioning of 275 years, you know, on that plantation system right there is to reinforce separation within the family unit, self-degradation, in addition to self-loathing, and this is transferred on down from generation after the generation after generation. And then due to cognitive dissonance, you know, of the slave-minded Negro, as Brother Malcolm was just talking there, they would sit up there and accept lies as truth, and then they would reject truth that is truth.
Right.
So we got to definitely look at that. So the air date of our episode is May 28th, 2019 on Shabaka's Black Experienced Enhanced. Stolen Legacies is our subject matter tonight. Man, for those of you, you know, who are listening, feel free to give us a call at 646-649-6630. And, yeah, and join us for the conversation. Also, too, our producers, the one and only man, Dr. D, was also our co-host. I'm your host and executive producer, Shabaka Sanku, out here on Shabaka's Black Experience at Hand. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing many more shows up in the future dealing with various other subjects. It's because we also like to do research on our ancient sciences, medical practices as well, too, in Kemet on the continent, astronomy, and also, too, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Each one teach one. And as you said, Brother Isaiah, we are all we got, and it's up to us to take care of us. Yes, sir. So, therefore, so we've been in existence now, ladies and gentlemen, going on by for the last 2.5 years. And we're also, too, reaching out to the community to support our podcast and also, too, visit us on our like page on Facebook at Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Feel free to leave us a comment, ask any questions. In addition to, definitely check us out. And we're going to be coming to you once again every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And we had a lot of difficulties here in the last few weeks. Got a heavy work schedule that we're dealing with, but most definitely the show must go on. Okay, and then also, too, we're going to ask. Yes, sir, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely has got to go on. Okay, so we're going to ask for some input, you know, from our associate producer, Demacy. So, how you doing this evening, Demacy? What's on your mind?
What's up,
hey,
Queen?
Hello, Isaiah. Well, actually, I'm just going to sit back and listen because I got some kind of issue with my gum thing and I don't want to move it too much.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm coming from.
All right, so therefore, getting back to Manson Music, okay, they said that when he had went to Mecca on the pilgrimage, they said that he went there with a train of 80 camels, each carrying 300 pounds of gold each, and he also, get this, founded the university.
Kids up here broke and they up there digging up all the gold. Oh, God. Don't that just scare you?
Okay, well, see, this is way back in the 14th century. Oh, Okay.
Right.
Now, also, too, what he did was...
The AD and BC days, like that.
Right. And then he also had founded the University of Saint-Croix at Timbuktu.
Really?
And he also,
mm-hmm.
yes, he did. And he also acquired the Songhai Empire as well, too. Now, also, too, we also want to discuss, you know, the black inventors and educators, you know, who had,
right.
you know, the innovations stolen from them as well, too. And another person who I want to bring up
right.
to mind here is Dr. Charles
they
True.
They always steal our inventions. They always look at our blueprint and take all the credit for it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir.
You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, also, too, what you got to look at as well is that Dr. Charles Drew, he died in 1950. Now, he was the doctor there that came up with the concept of blood plasma. And his method of this blood plasma has saved a lot of soldiers during World War II. Now, Oh, yeah, but keep in mind that in 1950, he was involved in a very, very bad auto accident where he was bleeding very badly.
Oh,
and then, yes, and then what had happened was when he had went to the hospital in North Carolina in the year 1950, they denied him entrance into the hospital, and the man bled to death. Without a doubt. They say without a doubt. And then also, too, we got to look at, you know, the three sisters who were over there at NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Association, that did the configurations on the mathematics for the Apollo rocket ship. That landed on the moon. That landed on the moon.
And I even seen the movie.
You see.
Because that was called Hidden Figures.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. See, so once again, you see, everybody's up there, you know, capitalizing once again off of resources, you know. And then Gary Morgan, you know, who brought us the gas mask, the street light, the smoke hood for firefighters. And then also, too, what his device was for fighting fires was that he had a wet sponge to filter out the smoke and to cool the air, you know, for the breathing apparatus as they went in there and fought the fires. And then he was also the founder of the National Safety Device Company in 1914. And this device that was aforementioned was a prelude to the gas mask. And then, of course, you know, we got to keep in mind, you know, Dr. George Washington Carver, you know, his discoveries with the peanut oil and what have you. And then also, too, we got to recognize Granville T. Woods, you know, who came up with the concept of the telegraph and also, too, of having the trains communicate with each other, you know, at various switching yards, and plus that he was the innovator of the overhead construction wires, you know, for streetcars that would evolve in that time. They say, now, your right inventors made claims to his devices.
Oh,
and
they didn't claim nothing.
Oh, yeah, the stolen legacy. You see what I'm saying? And Thomas Edison was wonderful. The guy who they credit the light bulb for. You see what I mean? You know. And then also, too, And then another one who stole his ideas and capitalized off of it was General Electric and Westinghouse.
You see
what I mean? You know, but our youth cannot talk this here in school.
It's like what they're doing today. They've taken our wardrobe, taking our footwear, taking our music, you know, all that.
Oh, yeah.
Taking our machines and all that. Sure, we create some of the best technology in the world. But if they just sit back and just want to take all the credit, they want to give, they just got all the money and all that BS, that bullshit, you know?
Oh, absolutely. But you see, but this is why that we got to, you know, educate the children and give them a sense of the innovative spirit and a concept of doing yourself, like I've seen out here on a lot of the scholars talking about generational wealth. You see, you need the generational wealth to acquire land, okay, because the four factors of production is land, labor, capital, and risk management. And risk management is nothing more than the innovator or the person coming up with the idea. Then, of course, the capital is the money, you know, to implement it. And this is why we got to put some more emphasis on banks within the community. You see? It's because Africa, you had a lot of black-owned insurance companies, a lot of black-owned banks, and they're dwindling. Mm-hmm. You see, insurance companies and banks are sources of capital. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's a classic example of it right there, and they were doing quite well as well, too.
Yep.
And then look at Sarah Breedlove in Denver, Colorado, commonly referred to as Madam C.J. Walker. You see, she was the first black millionaire, self-made, you know,
self-made.
Yeah, you see. So, and then also, too, another individual that we want to look at is John Harold Johnson. He was the one that brought you Ebony Magazine way back in 1945. On the south side of Chicago, where he had started innovating with a $500 loan on his mother's furniture. And Ebony Magazine became one of the leading publications in the world, if not in the U.S. It also, too, had additional publications such as the Jet Magazine. And it was a very, very good source of information of current events of what was going on in those times. In addition to, it is a very, very good source of information for those who wish to gather more information about the civil rights movement and the black empowerment era, because they were there. You know, they're photographers and what have you. Yeah, they were on the scenes. You know what I'm saying? From when Dr. King was doing the marching and what have you, and also to when various other sports figures were doing their thing. And then also, too, in addition to, you know, it was a very, very great source of information. And I do know that in the Jet is that they used to give you, like, because the Ebony itself came out every month, but I remember the Jet came out every week. You see, they'll give you various information.
Every week. We'll always be there everywhere on the front door. I'd be like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, too, yeah, they used to be able to get the subscriptions mailed to you, or what you could do is go down there to your neighborhood community store, and they would generally have it right there. So, yeah, and if you ever get a chance to get any past episodes of it, by all means, hold on to them. It's because in this era of misinformation, they're dumbing down the general public, particularly in the inner cities. You see what I mean? And then, of course, these miseducated ass scholars going there and perpetuating this bullshit. Yeah. No, yes, sir.
Yeah. It's going on.
Without
like,
a doubt.
It's going on like every, it's just rotating every year, every month, every 6 weeks.
Without a doubt. And then also, too, you have to look at some of the other scholars that we had, you know, coming off of Kemet, you know, about Ethiopia as well, too. And then on the research that I've done, we have gave the world the concept of...
That's ours, too.
Yeah, yes, you know, where we gave them the concept of bathing, you see. And then on top of that there, too, so, you know, that did spread around the world, and also, too, basic, you know, sanitation and what have you. See? So, yeah, so this is what our young people should be learning. And then claiming their stolen legacy.
That's it.
And then on top of it as well, too, see, this here would change
like
the mindset.
Like I said, homeschool is the key. Yeah, homeschool is the key to, you know, that I was used to be known that they was not born as slaves. We were some kings and queens. We were some ruler of this planet. Before the European came, you know, to colonize it. Europeans too, and so we've been all over the world. So we're the first one here. And we're going to be the last one here.
Without a doubt, you see. And then, like I said, is that you just got up there and then got to have the knowledge of self, you see what I mean? It's because that's the only way you're going to advance. Seriously.
Right.
You see, that's the only way you're going to advance. Because everybody, as you know, is up here running rings around us, man. And we're standing up here, man, wondering what's going on.
Right. All this world was going on, but never be producers. When you start being more producers, not consumers.
And less consumers, exactly. Because what's happening is, you know, with our information and what have you, they are using it against us, capitalizing on us. And then if you notice, is that the first thing they start doing is they start going up acquiring all the real estate in the community, all the real estate, commercial, residential, dilapidated, fixer-uppers, and what have you. This is what this concept of this gentrification.
I've been seeing everything when I go outside. All of them apartments and houses are being boxed in. They already destroying the black community, like for real. They just only want to put them out of the community so that more crazy white people to move in.
Exactly, because from what I'm understanding, what's happening at. Is that this is part of the real estate world. Work in the major cities, and they hate traveling, you know, from the suburbs into the city, you know, to go to work. So what's happening is that they're getting these dilapidated properties, and then what they're doing is they tear them down and they renovate them, and they raise the rent up on them. You see, so what's happening is they turn them into lawns. Now, what I've seen is here pretty much out here on the West Coast is in San Francisco, in a place called China Basin. 40 years ago, man, the place was totally dilapidated.
Chinatown. Yeah, that's a Chinatown old business. All that technology.
Oh, yeah, well, see.
All the cars.
And they're investing it up over there in Silicon Valley. You see what I mean? $1 trillion industry. You know, Apple, they built their own tower over there in San Francisco. It's the tallest building in San Francisco. The Apple Tower, I believe, is what they called it.
Oh, you serious, bro?
It's the highest building. In the city of San Francisco. In San Francisco, but not the world. And why the hell would they build skyscrapers on top of the fault line over in San Francisco is beyond me, but however it is, what it is, you know.
Right.
And then also too, you know, various scientists, you know, that we had, and also too, most definitely, we want to give a shout out there to the brother down there at Morehouse College, you know, who has paid off all the student loans. You see, and that's another thing, you know, that's going on. You know, is that a lot of our scholars are going to get educated, and they get sucked into these student loans, paying these high-ass payments and what have you, and in debt, their credit is ruined. You know, they can't get no upward mobility. So once again, other stolen legacies. You see, but it'll be very, very interesting to see of how far these students go. Financial wise and wealth wise, you know, as they start their careers as well too. But as I stated before, We've come a long way, but we still got a much longer way to go. So for those of you out there, please give us a call here at 646-564-9630. And we definitely appreciate you, you know, checking us out. Also, to keep attention to our like pages because it's giving you the episodes that we'll be having about this black experience. Oh, yeah. And then you can go on Twitter and you can follow us on Twitter at Shabaka Capital EXP on Twitter. And then I see we got a caller there at the 314 area code, the last 44644. Okay, just press 1 if you would like to speak live on the air. We see you there and definitely appreciate you for calling in. Okay, now. Another thing in regards to the stolen legacies is Hollywood, California, or Los Angeles. This is because you had a lot of black cinematographers, and one in particular who was a great actor on film, on the stage. Also, too, he was a cinematographer, star athlete. He also had a law degree from Rutgers University. Yeah, that there was the one and only Mr. Paul Frohsen. Okay? And so... And look what happened with him. You see, you know, look what happened with Paul Rose. See, you know, they left with the man, a communist, and all this other type of stuff in the 50s. So they went ahead on there and blackballed him. You see, so it is what it is. You see, but like I said, the thing is that we got to do is to acquire some land, and mainly you need to acquire some land, if anything, for agricultural production, just because you got to eat. You see, and particularly with all these GMOs that they are putting up here in the food chain and whatnot. Then not to mention all the chemicals, all the stuff that's going off into the air, you know, so the biosphere is all fouled up and whatnot. The water here in California, you know, is pretty much contaminated. You know, it's not safe to drink. You can smell the chemicals in the water as you turn on the faucet. So maybe somebody can come up there with that there as well, too. Just say, you know, educating our youth, you know, to countermand, you know, these ecological hazards that I think that are going to happen in the future because of, due to the abuse of the resources and pollution that you already have, they say. And then in addition, make more discoveries. Yeah, you say we've got to also emphasize on more discoveries. Don't be so quick to go out here and share it with everybody else. You say, you know, you got to capitalize off it. See, right. This is what they don't teach our people when they go out there to Los Angeles, California, thinking that they're getting ready to be a star. See, you should read the fine print of those contracts because that's either where you're going to make your money or you're going to be giving up your money.
Mind in the sword.
Yeah, just say. And then in addition to is that when you have this type of how should I say cognitive? No, I'm not gonna say cognitive dissonance. Let's just say going with a lack of knowledge. You see, when you see people suffer and perish due to a lack of knowledge, and the worst knowledge not to have is knowledge itself. Right. Yeah, see, that's what the situation is where we're
they
at.
Don't take time to do research. They don't take time to read and write. So, you know, our people need to start get back into that.
Yes, sir, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. And then also, too, if a lot of our college students, you know, fall off into this draft, it's because I recall, in high school or junior high school or middle school, as they call it in some places, you know, you're learning skills like a little bit of sheet metal, electronics, wood shop, auto shop, you see. So, in other words, you basically had learned some type of skills or got some type of knowledge. You see, to develop skills to provide for yourself while you go for your education, as opposed to you getting your education and then you get hit with all these student loans. So when you start acquiring property or start acquiring wealth, you know, here they come starting to get it from.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's starting to get it from. So this is why we appreciate, and I believe this man's name was Robert Smith, the billionaire that paid off all the student loans down there at Morehouse.
Yep.
And according to Forbes magazine, you know, he's the richest black person in the U.S. So we need to have more of that. It's because, as Carter G. Woodson had said, you know, in his writings, is that when we go to college, we're so much trying to fit in into the oppressive system as opposed to going and innovating.
Like I said before, we are worth $1 trillion alone. And we need to, you know, that we need to come together, you know, build up, save up, build more land, build more schools for 5 years. We need to build more.
Infrastructures as well, too. Because you're going to need infrastructures for electricity. You're going to need infrastructures for water. You're going to need infrastructure for transportation. And that is very, very important about transportation is because it is how all your commodities are moved. Railroads.
And,
trucks.
And have you noticed transportation is really cost so high right now? So then, you know,
So
I think they need to bring that down just a little bit, or that transportation like $6 to $5 to get on a train, $6 to $5 to get on a bus, on the light rail. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, like I think that needs, you know, turn that down just a little bit.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. And then also, too, the mistakes that these black politicians, you know, are making at the federal level, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think
mm-hmm.
they could do, because I think that the black politician could do more at the local level for the community as opposed to at the federal level. It's because just look at all these people jumping into this presidential circus, you see. And like I said,
it is a circus.
No, yeah, big time. And then on top of that, too, I'm going to definitely be researching the U.S. Senator from California, Kamala Harris, who used to be the Attorney General of the state of California.
Right.
And before that, she was the District Attorney of San Francisco County. And before that, when she was coming up, she was an Assistant District Attorney in Alameda County. So the next time I get over there to Panther Town and got time to do some research in the next couple of months, you know, I just want to see just who mainly got convicted when she was the DA, as opposed to everybody.
Right.
I'm sorry, as the assistant district attorney, you know, the prosecutor. Of course, she became the DA over in San Francisco. And I noticed, too, in this mainstream media, is that they don't never try to place any type of emphasis on giving us any type of credibility about what we were doing before the transatlantic passage, you see. Because you got a lot of these damn miseducators trying to get you to think that your history started here on a damn plantation. And that is bullshit. And those of you who disagree with us or agree with us, please give us a call at 646-564-9630. Press 1 to speak live on air and drop knowledge. Please do.
Hello?
Yes,
can anybody hear me?
Yes, hello.
On any of the money, the paper money that we use?
No, and they were supposed to.
Are you serious?
And,
I thought it was at least one or two.
No, none. Mm-mm. The only thing that you got is dead presidents and Benjamin Franklin. Ben is on $100 bill. Grant, from what I understand, who was a Civil War general and a drunk, you know, who was a president in the 1870s, he's on a $50 bill. Let me see. You got Jackson on a $20 bill. You got, Lincoln on a $5 bill, and you got a dude by the name of Alexander Hamilton on a $10 bill, who used to be the Secretary of War, and Alexander Hamilton got killed in a duel. Yeah, from what I understand about that, too, off in the 1700s over there. But that's on your side of the world right there, all up and down the East Coast right there. Yes, sir. But also, too, but I do know about where I'm at, you know. Yeah. Yeah, Alexander Hamilton got shot and killed in a duel.
Of a black person on money.
No, we don't have any.
And I heard they trying to put heavy tumbling on the $20 bill.
Right, but I heard that they rescinded that too. Yeah. Yeah, I heard that they decided not to do that.
That is disgusting.
Well, but like I said, you know, in our podcast, we were never to be included, never intended. I always remember that in the Dred Scott case, never intended on anything. Your property is a beast of burden, period, commodity, cattle. Just like a research that we're doing on the Haitian Revolution. They're not. They would be to their self-destruction. They will countermand their existence if they did that.
They already self-destructed. They not old.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely.
What's going on here?
They've been that way. They're going to be that way since at the end of the time. So we need to do something.
Yeah. Nasty-ass motherfuckers. I'm tired of this shit.
Right. I'm tired of seeing the same routine every day. Every day, every night, every month, every year, every century, through all that.
Right. But one thing, though, I will say that Dr. King has said shortly before his death is that he had led our people into a burning house with integration. And it's true at this point.
Right.
Every other group is capitalizing, you know, off of affirmative action.
Dr. King was waking up when you say that.
It doesn't matter. They just would have stole everything we had anyway.
Right. You're saying,
right.
But the thing is that you got to.
It really doesn't matter.
Right.
They steal it now, and they would have stole it then had that happened.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure don't. Right.
Yep. Without a doubt. You know, really is, without a doubt. And so, and then the sad part about
most of our people still got things on their minds.
Fidgety. Them people fidgety.
Yeah, fidget is right. Yeah.
That's my new word, retarded. And they fit the category.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know?
Most definitely.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Yeah, so once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to our podcast here, please give us a call and join in our conversation. Call in at 646-564-9630 and press 1 to speak live on air. Tonight's subject that we're dealing with is stolen legacy, and we're discussing the various... And we're discussing the various discoveries and inventions of our people, you know, that were stolen and claimed by the groups. And we're also discussing how we can protect our intellectual property rights as well, too. So please give us a call with your comments, questions, and concerns. Once again, 646-564-9630. Now, this is another thing that we have to emphasize on, too, is protecting our intellectual proprietary rights, you see, because there's big business in that. Yeah, you see, and And then you have a lot of issues that's going down in that cesspool called Hollywood. And also, too, by the way, it's very, very interesting. Yeah, and just we just want to comment on that there is because I came across information that the old Harvey Weinstein, he settled out of court against the accusations against him for $44 million.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
$40 million for him to have settled court for being quiet.
Never mind.
No, but what we're saying is that Harvey Weinstein, you know, the producer, you know, was accused of these accusations. He went on and settled, you know, his cases without a court settlement of $44 million. But
wait a minute.
Come on now. Really? To settle in court? And they got Bill Cosby out in the open.
Okay. Demacy, what was you saying?
Nothing.
Of course,
I'm not going to. You know how they do. They always want to protect their privilege. And all that.
Without a doubt. You know what I mean? Okay.
Can I say something? But itchy, scratchy shit.
Right.
They just itchy, scratchy. Retarded.
Right.
Exactly. And that is what Los Angeles is all about. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take us about a 5-minute intermission. We're going to listen here to Mr. Wes Montgomery bumping on Sunset for about 5 minutes.
Why?
Crazy, man.
Gentlemen, yeah, we're back here. I just want to read a story right here, just changing the subject a little briefly here. Okay. Now, you guys know here in California, you know, that they had passed a law of teaching this LGBT scenario here about these drag queens to kids in California. Okay, we just came across a story right here from Houston, Texas, and this is dated in March of this year. And it says here, drag queen who read to kids at Houston Library is a convicted pedophile. Okay, a drag queen who reads stories to children at a Houston Public Library last year is a convicted pedophile considered to be at risk of repeating his offense, a fact uncovered by parents opposed to, quote-unquote, drag screen story time and not by library.
I knew it. Law enforcement. I knew it.
Or the supposed watchdog news media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to KHOU, which was informed of the story by a group of pro-family activists calling themselves, well, we're not going to mention their name, it's an organization. A media spokesperson for the library confirmed one of the program's drag queens, Alberto Garza, is a 32-year-old child sex offender. In 2008, he was convicted of assaulting an 8-year-old boy. He was sentenced to 5 years probation and community supervision. The Texas Sex Offender Registry says that this dude is a moderate risk of reoffending. And this story is also saying that in our review of our process and of this participant, we discovered that we failed to complete a background check as required by our own guidelines. Okay, you see right there?
Oh, my God.
Right,
that's so sick.
They want us. Yeah, but however, though, and this is what the live person said,
and they want
us. Statement.
If they're trying to make a law to teach that, to try and teach that, I'm crying.
Oh, yeah. No. I said they already have laws in place here in California that they must teach this shit. Yes, they will.
Oh, my goodness.
They'll get them there, you know, to change their minds. It's just bullshit. Yes, they. And they even said that, now, the library official said that they failed to complete a background check as required by their own guidelines. You see, so that just, I'm just wondering how much concern that they really have for the children. Now,
they
say that we are sure.
Because they're in on it. They're in on
exactly.
The game.
Right.
Oh, yeah. What do you hear the end of it? Now, they say that that they could assure the public that this participant would not be involved in any future programs. The officials added, saying that they are taking the appropriate action to ensure that the status of every participant and every program throughout their system is verified, you see. And, of course, the very fact that the library and countless others across the country is hosting drag queen story time belies the officials' professed concern for their patrons, you know, as this organization had pointed out. Now, according to this organization, any reasonable person would see that drag queen story hour is a train wreck ready waiting to happen. It's a program whose goal is to make children feel comfortable about LGBT behaviors in their formative years. Men and garish makeup and costumes who seem obsessed with reading gay-themed books to very young children. These same men lead bizarre lives as quote-unquote adult sex entertainers. What could possibly go wrong besides everything? But it is what it is. Now, according to this story here, and I'm quoting it, I'm reading it, indeed a drag queen participating in a similar program in another city bluntly stated that it's about the grooming of, quote-unquote, the next generation. Okay, now this group filed a lawsuit against the library and the mayor of Houston, alleging that this behavior is a violation of the First Amendment because it promotes the religion of secular humanism. Now, the news station KHOU reported, it's not about acceptance, love, and tolerance. It's really about indoctrinating children to the ideas of secular humanism. Okay, so already right there, you know, they can't even deny it themselves. You're indoctrinating the children with this book. And then these individuals state who against this stated that it could totally indoctrinate them into it. Just like if you attended a Billy Graham rally, you could be led down the path of coming to know Christ, for example, this person said. Now, the federal judge dismissed the lawsuit in January. Undaunted, This organization did its own research into drag queen story time participants, and no thanks to the city, which denied their request for public information, they dug up 163 pages worth of what it called the drag queen's lurid activities. They delivered this report to the city council and the mayor, who called the drag queens, quote unquote, role models for the community.
Oh, hell no. No. No.
Man, I can't, you know, I can't read no more, I suppose.
Right,
man.
Please.
I mean, it's
right.
it's, you know.
That's really, that's what it irked my nerves about that. Like, come on, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, without a doubt. Well, anyway, folks, we're going to sign off here from Auburn, California tonight, and we're going to have our outro by the one and only, by the great Miles Davis with Milestones. Thank you so very much for listening.
Peace.
Mm-hmm.